Let's take our Bibles and turn to Jeremiah, if you will. Jeremiah. We'll have our guys preaching again here pretty soon. He's been awful busy this summer. But, when I'm up, I'm kind of going through Jeremiah and Ezekiel, kind of a little bit of each. I mentioned a while back that reading Jeremiah is like reading the morning newspaper. Israel and Judah went through a time where really anything would go. And it meant that they were going against their bridegroom, if you will, the Lord. And early here in Jeremiah, he's warning them what's to come. But at the same time that he's warning and telling them and bringing conviction upon their heart and soul for what they're doing, he's at the same time saying, come back. Come back. I want you to come back. There's a few things here in chapter 3 that are a little difficult to talk about in polite circles. But in fact, if we don't deal with sin, we never deal with it, and that's why we are where we are. And so we're going to pray first, and you know, we've often heard about someone has grounds for divorce. So we'll have grounds for divorce. Well, tonight we're going to talk about on grounds for reconciliation. Grounds for reconciliation. Let's pray, and then we'll talk about Jeremiah 3 here. Father, thank you for your word. Lord, I want to just walk through this passage here this evening. Just let each little step find its way into our heart. May we see your heart. May we see your hurt. But let me see the hope that you offer us. Lord, speak to our heart. Lord, every single one of us, I'm sure this pertains to us somewhere along the way. Kind of like this morning, we talk about who our God is. We claim you're our God, and then we really don't obey you. We don't fear you. We do as we please, and we call you our God. And Lord, many of us would say, well, I've never gone against God. Everything's fine. I mean, a few little things here. And we don't realize how we hurt you and really how we hurt ourselves by walking away from you. So Lord, I pray that you speak to us here this evening. We need you. We ask in Christ's name. Amen. If anyone ever had grounds for divorce, it's God. See, he made a covenant. And he can't make us stay. But he sure would like to take you back. God has grounds for divorce, but instead God is going to teach us the grounds for reconciliation. This is for us individually. Remember, we talk about our nation. That's fine. But the nation is made up of people. The nation is only as wicked as the people in the nation are. Well, I'm glad I'm not one of them. Wait a minute, we're all part of that. In fact, 2 Chronicles 7:14, if my people, not the other people, my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves. We say we love God. You know, if I, suppose I, Janet's my wife, and that's true. And suppose I, but though I had a couple other pictures of some other women I carry around in my wallet. Because, well, that's not quite right. We say we love God and that he's our Savior and that Jesus Christ is our bridegroom, and yet we carry a lot of things around with us that shows our heart's not with him. The Jews here are headed for disaster, and God's looking to reconcile them to himself before things get any worse. And we're going to see God's character and some principles of how God deals with sin and sinners. And we would do well to exercise this, by the way, toward others. But we're going to see how he is for us. Number one, the grounds for reconciliation. We want to come back to God. First thing we need to do is, number one, this is not a whole lot of new news here. We need to see our sin. We need to see our sin. Jeremiah chapter 3, verse number 1, in your Bible there, it says, they say, if a man put away his wife and she go from him and become another man's, shall he return unto her again? Shall not that land be greatly polluted? But thou hast played the harlot with many lovers. Yet return again to me, saith the Lord. Lift up thine eyes unto the high place and see where thou hast not been lying with. In the ways hast thou sat for them as the Arabian in the wilderness. And thou hast polluted the land with thy whoredoms and with thy wickedness. Now he's drawing a parallel between a man and a wife and a relationship and exclusiveness that should be there and our relationship with God and the exclusiveness that should be there. The Bible says friendship with the world is enmity with God. If I flirt with all the other women, then I bet you I'll make an enemy out of my wife. We flirt with the rest of the world, we're going to make an enemy out of our God. And when it says there, it says, they as the Arabian in the wilderness, this is interesting, because even back then, do you remember all those old movies, the old black and white movies, and guys in the French Foreign Legion, and they're out there in the sand, and they're out there, all of a sudden, all the Arabians are coming across the hill, and they're coming around with their swords, and, you know, and they're going to kill everybody. That was the Muslims, by the way. Nothing's new. God said that Ishmael was going to be against every people, all the world, and all the world's going to be against him. Nothing is new. The Muslims say that that's their land through the lineage of Ishmael. There's nothing new. And that's what it's saying here. He's saying they are looking for, he says, you folks are, you say you're my people, but the fact is, and you think you're doing fine, and why is God upset with me? But he said, listen, he says, you're looking for opportunities to do more mischief as Alibaba and the 40 thieves. You're looking for somebody to come along that you can pollute yourself with, to spoil yourself with, to ravage and spoil. That's what he said. He says, you're just like a bunch of heathen running around, a bunch of Arabs, trying to find somebody you can kill, someplace to get into trouble. He says, you're seeing all the mess out there. You're looking for things to get yourself in trouble with. Number two, not only do we need to see our sin, we need to see the senseless loss. The senseless loss of our sin. Look at verse 3. It says, therefore the showers have been withholden, and there hath been no latter rain. Why? It says, because you're out looking to find who you can run around with the world, other than me. You're loving the world, you're not loving me. You're doing what you want to do. You're out there playing the harlot with the rest of the world. You say that we're people of God, and then we're longing after whatever the world can offer. Again, I don't want to be inappropriate here, but it's like a man looking at pornography. Longing for whatever it is out there that's other than the one he's supposed to be cherishing. We need to see our sin. We need to see our senseless loss. He says, listen, you wonder why we're not getting any rain? Listen, do you wonder why there's places in our country that's getting no rain and then God dumps it someplace else where they don't need any more rain? Do we wonder why the whole world seems to be running in craziness? He's saying, I'm trying to wake you up, folks. I'm trying to wake you up. Number three, we need to see our sin. We need to see the senseless loss. Number three, we need to see our stubbornness. Our stubbornness. Now, don't get excited. That's number three. I think we have 14 points, so don't get excited. You laugh. I think it's at least. Anyway, we see our stubbornness. Watch. Look at verse 3. Therefore, the showers have been withheld, and there have been no latter rain. And thou hast, watch me, I know this sounds rough, a whore's forehead. You refused to be ashamed. He says, there's a problem here. There's no problem. Well, they're not doing this right. What's the deal? There's no problem here. He says, now, hang on, again, this is hard. He says, you have a whore's forehead. You think like a prostitute. He says, you're thinking like a prostitute. He says, you're going wrong. You're off doing your own thing. And you say, well, what's the big deal? Hey, we're all consenting adults here. So can't we do as we please? No. God's not consenting to this. If I go out and run out with some other woman, you say, what's the big deal? We're both consenting adults. What did I do to her? Gave my word. I say I'm hers. We say we're God's. But without, we play around with the rest of the world. Run around over here. We run around over there. Run around over here. He says, thou refusest to be ashamed. He says, you know it's wrong. But he said, you're just refuse to admit it. He said, in fact, we're kind of deceiving ourselves that everything's fine. You know, you don't slide into the mud all at one time. You know, just get a little closer, and all of a sudden, off we go. You know, listen, there's so many people who say, well, I can't believe that man ran out on his wife. Man, just like that he snapped. No. Mm-mm. You got to be careful. I don't know how long it was, but somewhere along the way, the thought started to drip down her heart. Until it got just a little bit of hold of us. And then it got a real hold of us. Oh, it could have happened rather quickly, but they thought about it. And they lied and they went in that direction. He says, verse 4, wilt thou not from this time cry unto me, my Father, thou art the God of my youth? Will he reserve his anger forever? Will he keep it to the end? Behold, thou hast spoken and done evil things as thou couldst. He says, you seem to be going against God in any way you can think of. And you would think to become, oh, my soul, I better get myself straight. His mercy can't last forever. Verse 6, the Lord said also unto me in the days of Josiah the king, hast thou seen that which backsliding Israel hath done? She's gone up upon every high mountain, upon every green tree, and there hath played the harlot. And I said, after she had done all these things, turn thou unto me. But she returned not. Now he's saying to Judah, because see, Judah's about ready to go into captivity. The top 10 tribes, the northern tribes, had already been taken in by Assyria. Taken, gone, dispersed. He said, didn't you see what happened up there? From the very time, as soon as they started, those 10 tribes, when they left and went up there, when it was divided after Solomon, they started making a gold calf. They started to worship as the world worshiped right away. And of course, old Judah, they go, well, we don't do that kind of stuff. We're not bad. We would never do anything like that. We're not like those people. And they watched them be carried off. He said, haven't you learned anything?
We're so busy trying to be like everybody else. This is kind of a political thing here. But a lot of the liberals are saying, well, the rest of the world has this. Why don't we? The rest of the world has this. Why don't we? The rest of the world has this. Why don't we? Listen, if we do what the rest of the world does, we're going to get what the rest of the world has been getting. Why are they called third world? All along, we've been different. We've been a peculiar people, and we've been the greatest nation in all the world because we have been, we at least had some fear of God to do it away. But we throw all that out because we think, well, they got a few trinkets that we don't have, and we're going to throw the whole thing out. I was going to bring this up next week in my morning message, but a fellow by the name of Truett Cathy started a business named Chick-fil-A. And he decided that his people, first of all, shouldn't work on Sunday because that's the Lord's day and everybody needs a day of rest. There's been some other things where they just simply stood on certain things. And remember a while back, and Brother Cathy, he's passed away now. But by the way, I've got some friends who have who've met him and so forth, and they talked about this and that and the other thing. But everything he could talk about was his junior high boys Sunday school class. That was his life. He happened to run a chicken business, but his life was a junior high Sunday school class. Now, the fact is, he made some decisions. And my guess is that a lot of people said, well, that's just plain stupid. You can't build a business like that. It'll never work. And yet it's one of the fastest growing businesses in America. In fact, when he stood with the Lord, when they meant harm, I remember Nancy Pelosi standing there saying, well, I'll get my waffle fries someplace else. She was just indignant about the whole thing. And yet my kids were working for Chick-fil-A when they had that, when Huckabee had that, whatever that day, you know, support Chick-fil-A. And they were, that was when it was still down the mall. And the line went down. Yeah, it's a long mall. It just went down, 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 and down. They ran out of stuff. And they said, we don't have anything to sell you. Well, do you have gift cards? Yeah. All right, we'll take one of those. Now, all I'm saying, listen, now, it kind of bothers me that, this is going to sound funny, it bothers me this, but they're putting the Chick-fil-A in Hershey Park. Isn't that open on Sunday? I'm curious if it's going to be open on Sunday. And there's some other things they're doing with the restrooms over there, kind of bothers me. Now, I just hope that they don't start doing what everybody else does. Because mark my word, if they start doing what everybody else does, then they will become what everybody else is. I'm not preaching on Chick-fil-A and Truett Cathy. By the way, you know what? You know where his name Truett came from? He was named after George W. Truett, a great preacher of years gone by. We need to see our stubbornness. Verse 7, it says, And I said, after she had done all these things, turn thou unto me, but she returned not. Talking about Israel, the upper 10 tribes. And her treacherous sister Judah, you saw it. And I saw when all the causes whereby backsliding Israel committed adultery, I had put her away and given her a bill of divorce. And yet her treacherous sister Judah feared not, but went and played the harlot also. And it came to pass through the lightness of her whoredom. Well, it's no big deal, it's no big deal, that she defiled the land, committed adultery with the stones and with stocks. What's it talking about, stones and stocks? Talking about idols. Literally, you know, the totem pole, the idols, made out of stones, made out of a hunk of wood. So that's really stupid. We make an idol out of a piece of paper. We'll make an idol out of a couple sticks and some nails that we call a house. We'll make an idol out of some nuts and some bolts and some grease that we call a car. We'll make an idol out of something that has a little bit of fiberglass on the bottom. You put it in the water and it'll float. We'll make an idol out of all kinds of things because it's, oh, that's more important than our walk with God. We'll make an idol out of a bottle with some alcohol in it. We'll make an idol out of a syringe with a needle in the end. We'll make an idol out of a little plastic container that's got some little round things in it called pills. Somehow we look at these things, this is what's gonna get me through life. Verse 9 says, it came to pass through the lightness of her whoredom that she defiled the land. It's no big deal. It's no big deal. God knows my heart. Yes, he does. Verse 10, and yet for all this, her treacherous sister Judah hath not turned unto me with her whole heart, but feignedly. In other words, pretending, saith the Lord. And the Lord said unto me, the backsliding Israel hath justified herself more than treacherous Judah. We play with the world. It's no big deal. How many people, I know there's a few, how many people were here that you remember when the television first came out and you bought your first television? When television first came out. I remember we had one with a little box that had doors on it. Remember those? And the screen was about this big. That was big. We got phones that big now. You open the door, you know, and there's this little TV, this tube in there, and you turn it on, and everything had to heat up. And after a while, and it would go, and you take the rabbit ears, and you fix the tinfoil on the top and try to get a screen, you know, and there was three stations, NBC, ABC, and CBS. That was it. If it wasn't on one of those, there wasn't any. I Love Lucy came on. And when they showed a scene in the bedroom, they had two single beds and a table between them. They could get away with kissing on because everybody knew that they were married. I watched this, and I'm trying to be mean, but the fact is, the first time she wore pants on the TV, everybody got upset. They did. Gone with the Wind came out. And boy, was there a stir there. You see, some of you young folks don't even have any idea what that was. It was the first time a four-letter word was spoken on the big screen. First time a four-letter word was spoken on the big screen. Boy, that was something. That's a racy movie. Rated R, probably. And we laugh. We do. There were people back then who said, don't get your TV out. Don't even buy a TV because it's going to take you in the wrong direction. Now Gone with the Wind is the one, is one of those things you bring the kids in because it's okay. Things go on. You say, well, what? I can't believe you're getting it. What I'm saying is, we have walked so far from what it means to be faithful. Give me a kiss. That's my daughter. So you don't have any right to be kissing everybody. I'm married. I got a daughter. But you know what? You see what I'm saying? all these things have just, we have walked away one step by step by step by step. We're to the point where we're playing the harlot with our hearts, and we do not even recognize it anymore. I don't even like to go through the TV and see what's on some of those stations. I've got a problem with some of the things that just come on to advertise the shows. And you know what we're doing? We're filling our hearts and our minds with that. I'll tell you what we're doing. Don't get mad at me. We're playing the whore. Because we are allowing something else to come in to our heart and steal it. But our heart is supposed to be dedicated to that one. And you know what we say? It's no big deal. Everybody does it. It's just the way we are now. Isn't that a shame? We need to see our sin. We need to see the senseless loss. We need to see our stubbornness. Number four, we need to see God's grace. We need to see God's grace. Verse 12, it says, "Go and proclaim these words toward the north and say, Return, thou backsliding Israel, saith the Lord, and I will not cause mine anger to fall upon you, for I am merciful, saith the Lord, and I will not keep anger forever." He started out and said, listen, when a woman leaves her husband, goes out with some other man, and she's playing the wife of some other man, and he says, shall he take her back? Says, isn't that polluted ground? Why would you want it? And yet he says, come back to me. What mercy. What grace. Number five, we need to accept God's grace. We need to see God's grace. He says, here it is, but we need to accept it. Look at verse 13. Why don't we go back to 12? Go and proclaim these words toward the north and say, Return, thou backsliding Israel, saith the Lord, and I will not cause mine anger to fall upon you, for I am merciful, saith the Lord, and I will not keep anger forever. Now, why is he saying that when he's talking to Judah? I'll tell you what he's saying. Judah thought, well, those Israelites up top, they've been wicked. They always have been wicked. They're just a mess. I always have been a mess. He says, you know what? I would take them back. You take them back? You take them back? I'd take them back. You know why he's telling them that? Because he says, I'll take you back too. You know, we can always see everybody else's sin more than we see ourselves. Verse 13, he says, Only acknowledge thine iniquity, that thou hast transgressed against the Lord thy God, and have scattered thy ways to the strangers under every green tree. Ye have not obeyed my voice, saith the Lord. He says, only acknowledge. He says, take a good look at it and recognize it for what it is. Acknowledge thine iniquity. The iniquity means perverseness, waywardness. You're just kind of out looking here and there, playing with the world here, playing with the world there, flirting with it here, giving it a kiss over there, hugging a little bit over here, and who knows what you're doing over there. But it says, if you'll admit it, that thou hast, if you admit that you've transgressed against the Lord thy God, gone contrary to God's ways, and you've scattered thy ways. In other words, you're randomly gone any way except the right way. You know, so you go, well, I like this, we'll go over here. Well, I like this. Whatever the latest thing, whatever the world's coming out with, that's what I want. Access Hollywood. All the mess. Whatever the world's doing, let me do that. Let me be like them. If we do not see that we need grace, this is what he's saying, we will not come to accept the grace. So what do you need to do? Well, first of all, we're supposed to be acknowledging it. We're supposed to be in confessing our sin. We must own the corruption of our nature. You know what? When we think we can handle it, you know what we're saying? I'm not corrupted. I don't corrupt. I'm fine. I'll be okay. I can handle it. That's a dangerous place to be. We must own our corruption. It says, acknowledge thine iniquity, the perverseness, the irregularity of our nature. It's looking elsewhere for something or someone to fulfill God's place in our lives. It is as bad as looking for someone who or something to fulfill the role of your spouse in your life. We're saying, I want something else to fill that role of God in my life. How would you feel if your spouse looked somewhere else to fulfill that marital fulfillment in their life? That's how God feels. He loves us with an everlasting love, and this is what we give Him in return. We'll sell our relationship for a stupid movie that fills our heart with a bunch of junk. Somehow or other, we get kicks. I'm sorry, I know you get upset with me on this. We get kicks out of watching people kill each other on TV. Man, I can't. Well, you're just, I'm sensitive to it. Because I'm not calloused to it. But the more we see, the more callous we are, the more willing we are to do it ourselves. And we wonder why our world's gone bananas. We wonder why, because we have filled our hearts and our minds with wickedness. So it's just normal day-to-day activity. We laugh at things that are illegal. We laugh at things on TV that's a part of a show, it's illegal. We must acknowledge this, and we must acknowledge our corrupt nature. We must own our actual sins. He says we got to realize that there's iniquity. We've transgressed against God. We need to own our actual sins. Thou hast transgressed against the Lord thy God. You've affronted Him. You've offended Him. You know, sometimes we're in trouble. And in fact, some of you all may be mad at me tonight because we named some sins. Well, they're not sins. They're not that bad. We've got a whore's forehead, and we're not ashamed anymore. There was a time if someone walked in and saw you watching TV, what you watch, you would have changed it. You would have been embarrassed. Now it's no big deal. Now it's no big deal. Because we're callous. We didn't name sin. I'm not hurting people. I want to help people. You in your own heart. Now, don't go around naming everybody else's sins. You know what I'm saying? Name your sin. Call them for what they are. Name them one by one. He tell you what, take care of that. Then you'll be able to count your blessings and name them one by one, too. He says, name them. Come back. I want to make you blessed. Why is the rain stopped? Because I got to get your attention somehow or other. We must own the corruption of our nature. We must own our actual sins. We must own the multitude of our transgressions. He says, thou hast scattered thy ways to the strangers. You run hither and thither in pursuit of all their idols and under every green tree. You see what those were? They were like the worship places. But they go up there and worship the fertility god by being fertile. And we do the same thing. We fill our heart with a mind with these things. Some old love novel. This is my summer beach book. I don't go there. And then we must kind of aggravate our sin from the disobedience that there is in the divine law. The sinfulness of our sin is the worst thing in it. He says, you have not obeyed my voice. We need to acknowledge that and let that humble us more than anything else. We have disobeyed Him. This is our God. This is the one who died for us. This is the one who loves us. And we go right out and do whatever we want to do and don't understand why he's upset. So we need to recognize God's grace. We need to admit that we need God's grace. Number six, we need to live in God's grace. Live in God's grace. Look at verse 14. Turn, O backsliding, sliding children, saith the Lord, for I am married unto you. And I will take you one of a city and two of a family, and I will bring you to Zion. So what in the world? He's saying, listen, he's like a father, at the same time he's our husband. I want to care for you. That word child is a term of endearment. He says, listen, child, I'm married to you. God gave his vow. And he says, listen, I'll take one of a city and two of a family, and I will bring you to Zion. He's talking to a nation. What's he saying? God will graciously receive those that are willing to return to him. It may be one here. It may be one there. There's some folks in this room that you or maybe just your family is probably the only saved ones out of are probably with all your other relatives around you. You may be the only one saved in your family. There are people around here who say that you've got it and they don't. God's saying to, he's saying to the nation of America, United States, I'll take anyone I can get. It might be one of a family, it might be a couple guys down in this town. It might be a couple over here in this town. But I married you. I'll take what I can get because I've given my vow to you. God's willing to take us off the street and receive us into his care. But we have to be willing to return. God will take us one by one. God will take whomever he can get. Of the many that have backslidden from God, there are but few. Very few in comparison that return to him. One out of a city, two out of a country. Christ's flock may be a little flock. Few there are that find a straight gate. Don't you be the one that's missed. God, watch this. He will not overlook you. Of those few, though they may be dispersed, not one shall be lost if they come to him. You come to him, he will in no wise cast you out. Well, this family, my family's always been, listen, it doesn't matter. We come one by one, heart by heart. He'll take you. He wants you. Though there be one in a city, God will find that one. He shall not be overlooked in a crowd, but shall be brought safely to Zion, safely to heaven. There's probably people in this very room tonight. So I don't think God would ever want me. He's already given his heart to you. Yeah, but you don't know what I've done. He says, yes, I do. But I want you. I want you. I want you. I want you. Number seven, if we accept God's grace, God will lead us. If we will accept God's grace, God will lead us. He's talking about them coming back. And look what it says in verse 15. I will give you pastors according to mine heart, which shall feed you with knowledge and understanding. That is the main purpose of a pastor, to feed the flock the word of God. Sometimes it's Brussels sprouts. Sometimes it's broccoli. Sometimes we get to wave the flag and have a little ice cream and hot dogs. But you can't do that all the time. Got to eat your spinach. Sometimes we got to get the meat out, and sometimes it's a little tough. But it says, you come to me.
and I'm going to send somebody there. We'll send you people that will give you the truth of the Word of God. Draw you back. Lead you. Guide you. We don't have to live like that. We don't have to live on the outskirts of hell. I can't, listen, I've had a lot of people here say, well, I know I'm not going to hell because I've already lived it here. You ain't seen nothing yet. And if you feel like this world is hell, it's your own fault. Well, you don't know what happened. Listen, God take you one by one. You come, you acknowledge your sin. You acknowledge He has grace. You accept the grace. Admit that you need the grace. And He says, come, I'll give it to you. Maybe one here, but two over here. Number eight, if we will accept God's grace, watch, we will not need religion. Because we're going to have a relationship. See, he doesn't want us to get dressed up and go out and have dinner. That's fine and dandy. But I know some couples who get dressed up and go out and have dinner, and all they have is words. Or silence. It looks like a date, but it was no date. Because the relationship's not there. Because there's something between the two pushing you apart. God says, come. The fact is, He's always right. He wasn't on the wrong side of the issue there. He was always right. But if we come and we confess, He says, I'll take you back. I want you back. Please come back. I've known couples and at this particular time, this woman ran off, and he says, you know what, if she would just come back and talk, I'd just take that. I'd just like to have that. Maybe we just talk sometimes. Maybe we just see each other a little bit. You know, he said, I'll take whatever I can get because I love her. That's what God's saying. I'll take what I can get. But think about what we could have if we would just give our whole selves to Him. Look at verse 16. And it says, and it shall come to pass. Remember, verse 15 is going to give us pastors, according to God's heart, to feed us the knowledge and understanding. And it shall come to pass when ye be multiplied, increased in land in those days, saith the Lord, they shall say no more, the ark of the covenant of the Lord, neither shall it come to mind, neither shall they remember it, neither shall they visit it, neither shall that be done anymore. At that time they shall call Jerusalem the throne of the Lord, and all the nations shall be gathered unto it in the name of the Lord to Jerusalem. Neither shall they walk anymore after the imagination of their evil heart. Now, you know, the ark of the covenant was in the middle of the tabernacle, and that's the presence of God. Nobody could come to it. He says, you don't need the ark of the covenant. You don't need the tabernacle. When Jesus Christ died, the veil of the temple was torn from the top to the bottom. He says, here I am. Come on in. By the blood of the Lamb. Don't need the foolishness. I want you. I want your heart. Not just a nod. Not just some religion. I want your heart. Number nine. When we accept grace, pride goes away. When you realize you need grace, it kind of takes away the pride part. When pride disappears, contention leaves, and peace resides. He's saying, verse 18, in those days the house of Judah shall walk with the house of Israel. And they shall come out together out of the land of the north to the land that I have given for their inheritance unto their fathers, unto your fathers. Now, I understand it's talking about some future things that are yet to come. But, you know, Israel's looking at the sins of Judah, and Judah's looking at the sins of Israel. He calls them sisters. And they fought amongst each other, the 10 tribes of the northern and the 2 tribes in the south. And they fought against each other and all kinds of things. You know, when we all realize that we just need a Savior and pride goes out the window, a lot of that stops. In fact, only by pride cometh contention. What I'm saying, You take away your pride, your life's going to be different. You see, the pride was, I didn't sin. Refuse to be ashamed. A whore's forehead. I'll do as I please and live a miserable life. Their concentration will not be on themselves, but on the Lord. Their walk with God will be their unifying element. You know, when everybody in a household realizes they're sinners saved by grace and really know it, and have a relationship with the Savior, it's really pretty easy to get along. It really is pretty easy to get along. Now, so if you have kids, sometimes you've got to deal with that and teach them those things because they don't know it yet. But you know, we adults ought to have it all figured out if we're saved. Number 10, God can bring the family all back together again when we're willing to accept grace. Verse 19, but I said, how shall I put thee among the children, give thee a pleasant land, a goodly heritage of the host of nations? And I said, thou shalt call me my father, and shalt not, I'm sorry, thou shalt call me my father, and shalt not turn away from me. Surely as a wife treacherously departeth from her husband, so have ye dealt treacherously with me, O house of Israel, saith the Lord. You walked away from me. Verse 21, a voice was heard upon the high places, weeping and supplication of the children of Israel, for they have perverted their way, and they have forgotten the Lord their God. Look at number 11. Hold on. We'll just get here. You can only accept grace if you're willing to admit that you need grace. Verse 22, return ye backsliding children, and I will heal your backslidings. Behold, we come unto thee, for thou art the Lord our God. Why are we coming back to him? Because he's our God. Number 12, you don't get to God by the way of the world. Verse 23, truly in vain is salvation hoped for from the hills. He's talking about worshiping the way the world does, living the way the world does, running your life by the philosophy of the world and all these things. This is, and from the multitude of mountains, truly in the Lord our God is the salvation of Israel. So you can look all over the world. Everybody's got an answer, but there's only one that's going to work. That's the Lord. Number 13. When we left our spouse, the Lord, we lost it all. Number 24. For shame hath devoured the labor of our fathers from our youth, their flocks and their herds, their sons and their daughters. We lie down in our shame, and our confusion covereth us. For we have sinned against the Lord our God, we and our fathers from our youth, even unto this day, and have not obeyed the voice of the Lord our God. They're admitting. Well, Jeremiah is admitting. And lastly, the grounds for reconciliation is the grace of God. You see, the grounds for reconciliation is the grace of God and our willingness to accept that grace. If you don't know or you will not admit that we all need grace, you're never going to experience grace. There's a lot of people who will look at Christians. The problem is, Christians have been walking away over the generations, further and further from the Lord. We've gotten further and further into the mess to the point where, as long as we say, well, I'm not over there, I guess I'm good. Well, I'm not over there, I guess I'm good. Think about how far we've walked away. Now, there are a few people who are seen as fanatics. Little too much religion. I mean, there are those people who are always trying to jam it down my throat. Oh, you mean medicine so you're not sick? Amen. And you know, sometimes when they say you're jamming it down their throat, It means you mentioned. You know why it feels like you're jamming it down your throat? Because we're like a four-year-old who needs a little cough syrup. And we're not going to let that spoon in. Why are you doing this to me, Mommy? Because I love you. I'm just trying to put you, give you a little bit of medicine. I want to save your life. If you're in here tonight, you don't know Christ as your Savior. I'm serious. Well, this is what's in that crowd. I still believe there's a lot of folks who have prayed a prayer.
Amen.
And it's still not working because it's not real.
Amen.
Yet.
Amen.
They've got religion, but they don't have a relationship.
Amen.
Rest in Him. Let Him be your God. Let Him be your father. Let Him be your spouse. He loves us with an everlasting love, and we need to get that in return. Father, thank You for speaking to us here this evening. Lord, we need You to do a work in our heart. If anybody deserves a divorce, us, You do. Well, Lord, You said You'll take us back. And the grounds for reconciliation is for us to see our sin, see a Savior, to see the grace and accept the grace by admitting we need it. Lord, speak to our hearts. Heads are bowed and our eyes are closed. The altar